on the Max and Friends talk show. Happy birthday to you, Jennifer English.
Thank you. That was unexpected. I appreciate that more than you know.
The unexpected moments of Max Tucci. Welcome to Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. And yes, you heard happy birthday because it is the divine Jennifer English's birthday. And we wish you a happy birthday and a birthday where all of your dreams come true. And I know some of them. So for you, I hope that all of them come true and that when they do, you dream bigger. You dream bigger. So happy birthday to you, Jennifer English, to a wonderful year ahead of really discovering the undiscoverable within you.
It's waiting.
Yeah.
I love that Max and Friends has Max because you've been so busy traveling and you are all over the world and you're doing so many exciting things, some of which we can talk about, some of which we can't. But I've been privileged to guest host, and today is one of those rare days when we get to be here together.
Together. So, and most importantly, tell us where you are first and foremost.
So at the moment, I'm in beautiful British Columbia for the BC Seafood Festival, which is one of the premier global events that gives a lot of attention to the fact that some of the most delicious and high quality seafood is being farmed and raised in Vancouver Island. And so when you travel all over North America and the world, you will see products that have their origins here. And Fanny Bay oysters are all over North America. They're some of the most beautiful oysters you can find, the Kushis and the Kumamotos. I had some this week. They're stunning. They're absolutely delicious. And while I may have grown up on the East Coast as a New Englander, being weaned literally on oysters and going with my own grandmother to the Grand Central Station Oyster Bar, she attributed, of course, her longevity to the fact that she would go to both Grand Central Station Oyster Bar and Durgan Park Restaurant and eat oysters regularly into her 90s. So that is something.
You know, Jennifer, I was just recently at the Grand Central Oyster Bar. I was coming back from the city to the farm and I had to catch a train and I had like, you know, a solid hour to go. And I was like, I've got to go just have this nostalgic moment. And I sat at the counter. You know, the counter is the place to be. And although, to be candid, it didn't give me the nostalgia I was looking for, it just reminded me of old New York. I would love to buy it and redo it and transform it. You know, that's what I was thinking. And to be candid, when I was sitting at that counter, I was reminiscing, too, of the Woolworth counter, where I used to go get grilled cheeses with my Aunt Mary in Greenwich, Connecticut. It's those feel-good things, like with your grandmother, you know? Yeah.
And, you know, those wonderful old steam pipes and the way that they heat food there. I mean, there were things in service that are in service that remind us of where we come from. But I'm digressing. So not only is the seafood from British Columbia enjoyed all over North America, there are products that are so rare and so special, like the gooey duck and other things that are so prized in Asia that there's a multi-billion dollar industry. And it's nearly impossible to talk about how extraordinarily high quality all the product is, and the size of the market. And it's just one more of those dimensions that, you know, if you think of it like planets and satellite systems and solar systems and moons, and you know, there are all these wonderful planets in the culinary and hospitality industry that are their own solar systems, right? Like, and when you get to be privileged enough to be in them, you can see all the stars, and the stars in this instance with BC Seafood are the chefs who just do these extraordinary things. So literally some of the world's best chefs, like Chef Pino, who is literally the best chef, Italian chef, he just got honored. He does things at this festival, and Chef Angus An and Chef Lang Dang, and there are so many, and Chef Ned Bell is coordinating all the chefs this year. And Ned Bell is in his own right a superstar. It's when you start seeing these stars and these solar systems of these industries within our industry, it really gives you hope that the future of our industry is going to be so solid, because there's so much innovation and creativity and art and hospitality and intentionality and welcoming and conviviality. I mean, all the things I love, they're happening, even if they're not happening at your local restaurant because they got to close.
I mean,
this is important. Just because you don't see it on your block doesn't mean it's not still alive and well and happening and about to come back to your block somehow.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But, you know, I want to talk about your birthday real quick, because we've got a full show. We're here. We're going to maybe play some music if we get to it or not. But, you know, I want to talk to you because I was thinking before the show that if Jennifer English were coming over to my house tonight, to Delmonico Farm, where I am now, P.S., it's so cold here that literally the middle of June, I have the heat on to take the chill out. And that's why I was working outside. So I ran in. I said, we're going to do this show. And what would I have at the table for Jennifer English, right? For sure I know that we would have to have caviar. That would be a no-brainer, right? Caviar, and not a little tin, a big tin, huge tin. But my question to you, Jennifer, is what do you like to have served with your caviar?
You are so sweet to ask this question, because of course it lets me remember so many times as a kid growing up, we got to choose what we would have for our dinner. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I would always ask for, I would ask to go to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Boston. And that's where my great-grandmother was the night room service manager. It's where I learned about what fancy is. It's where I learned so many things.
It was
and
your Delmonico's.
It was my Delmonico's. And when I was very young, I would have the duck. The older I got, I had the privilege of getting to go to some of my favorite places in downtown Boston, and would have this one restaurant called Dewberry on Newbury Street when I was in my ingenue years. I would have the sole meuniere. And a glass of rosé. And I tried to imagine that tradition. So having sole and a glass of rosé in a beautiful month of June was always one of the treats. That's what I would have for lunch every year on my birthday. And if possible, for dinner, I'd have my lobster roll.
Yeah. But how do you like your caviar? Do you like it with toast points? Do you like it with a Bellini? Do you like it, you know, the good old caviar pump? Do you like it with Fritos? That's how I like. I love it with Fritos.
I love caviar in the cleanest state.
Yeah.
I appreciate it for what it is. I don't tart it up too much. I mean, I wear bright colored lipstick because I'm a dame of a certain age at this point. But I want my caviar to just be in its
pure
natural beauty.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. I actually travel wherever I go in the world. I have a little pouch of caviar spoons that were my grandmother's. And I travel with them. And that may be the most Max Tucci-est thing that I do.
I love it. I love it so much. It's so chic. Sorry, my phone. You know, we're live, so I forgot to put my phone on do not disturb. But you know, Jennifer, I think that's such a chic little thing to do that. You know, like I said in one of my book talks, my author talks, if you want to bring that moment of, you know, of really of glamour, of old school Delmonico's, you're responsible for bringing it yourself. So I love that you bring that spoon. You know, I used to travel with my own cutlery, not because I was, you know, but it was a fabulous set. I have it now aside, but you know, it was an old Cristoffel set from Delmonico's, and I just felt like so special eating off of it. You know, now I get to eat off of the plates and everything. So there's a lot of joy in that. But I have to tell you some really fantastic fun news. You might have known, you might, I think I told you, we have been ships in the night, but we're both, you know, we're both sailing into these beautiful sunsets and sunrises every day. So, you know, I'm now contributing to Appetito Magazine, which is a wonderful online magazine by our friend Andrew Cotto. And I just recently did the wonderful, I've done what, like four of them now. And the Bolognese al Cotello from our dear friend B at El Posto Accanto. If you're in New York City, you must go to the East Village. Go tell B that I sent you. Go to appetitomagazine.com. There you'll see the recipes. I took them right from the book and I gave a little more in-depth detail. You know, when I was writing the book, Jennifer, my wonderful editor, Caitlin, she said, if everything is special, then nothing is special, right? Leave them wanting more so that you can do articles and you can do all these other, you know, wonderful things. So I've been stretching all of these stories and to the point now, Jennifer, I don't know if we've even mentioned this, but I would love for you to be a part of it. We're going to be teaching really the making of writing your own cookbook here at Delmonico Farm. And so I'm putting together the team, which is going to be obviously, you know, if you're in town, you'll be one of the masterclass speakers. But if anyone is interested, go to thedelmonicoway.com, find me on Instagram at Maxucci, sign up. We would love to have you come. We're going to do an intense workshop. And maybe it's not a cookbook that's going to be published, but maybe you want to know how to do your own cookbook for your family. So, you know, or a tribute to your grandmother. So we have a wonderful photographer, food stylist, and of course, Caitlin, my editor. So I put the feelers out on Instagram and people were DMing me, sign me up, sign me up. So it looks like it's going to take off, and then we're going to expand it really to do the real masterclass at my villa in Florence, Italy, where we're going to do an in-depth cooking course and cookbook workshop in Florence. So that's one of the projects, Jennifer, that I've been up to. So I'm just going to cheers you again because it's your
Listen,
birthday.
Appetito Magazine is going to love the fact that you're going to take us all to Florence. And we're going to collab the experience in a way that reminds us of what the real roots, the real essential and authentic origin stories and legacies that we have. And it validates all of them. It's not that you have to come from Florence. You have to go back to wherever your ancestors are from. We all have legacy and we all have tradition. You know, asking me where I spent my birthdays and what I would ask for my birthday cake or my birthday dinner. We all have some version of that. Mm. And why is that important? Why is remembering why that's important comes back to something that you say regularly at the top of every show and at the end of every show, which is I see you, I hear you, and you matter. Let's talk a little bit about that in all the work you're doing in right now and all the work I'm doing right now. It's so interesting that almost on a daily basis in every realm of the hospitality industry, I am seeing validation of that and a plea for that. Mm-hmm. We need it more than ever.
I agree. You know, when Oscar was doing it, you know, it was at a time when self-worth was a completely different concept. You know, when we look at the old pictures of Delmonico's and how men and women dressed and how they presented themselves and how they brought themselves to the table. You know, I love how you say, yes, it's one thing to be the ultimate host, but it's another thing to be the ultimate guest. And what does that mean to be the ultimate guest? And why should I validate you? Yes, you've shown up, but now you've put in that extra by presenting yourself in such an elegant and sophisticated and glamorous way that I cannot not see you. I cannot not hear you, and I cannot not tell you that you that I don't validate you, because what you've brought to the table is something so exquisite. You know, I love Omar. Omar does these really exquisite, Omar Hernandez does these exquisite parties at La Galoo in New York. And when you see them on Instagram, it's like the bygone era. And you, I want to just jump into that Instagram story, you know, throw on a tuxedo, kind of undo my tie a little bit, my bow tie, you know, and unbutton one shirt and kind of have like a, you know, a dirty martini and jump through the screen and just be present in that moment. You know, and I feel that when Oscar said, I see you, I hear you matter, not only to Kristen Jorgensen, we're talking Pride Month this month. You know, I did a post the other day, all are welcomed at my table. So what does that mean? What does that encompass? What did Oscar really teach to those of the future of food and hospitality during that time? To the Tony Mays, to the Sierra Macchionis, to the Harry's at Hanover Square, to the Fedoras, to the Lalo Arpaias, to then, you know, the Donatellas. And then we go on to the Marissa Mays, who I just received a text message, by the way, perfect setup. And she says, Maxi, please, please, please wish our dear Jennifer English a buon compleanno with lots of love from me, Marissa May. So, you know, Marissa's busy working on her restaurant, but also the Daniel Baludes and the Erics and the Jeffries and the list goes on and on from this culinary tree. What did Oscar mean when he said that all are welcomed at my table? And what was he teaching? What was he teaching those who are witnessing Oscar's labor, Oscar's love, Oscar's acceptance? What was he teaching? And very few at the restaurant really paid attention. And those that did pay attention to Oscar's words really became some of the most significant, important restaurateurs, and not only restaurateurs, golden road pavers for this industry. So, you know, those are the words that are important for me in the future of food and hospitality.
I want to break it down a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that Oscar, whom I never met, it wasn't just that Oscar welcomed the celebrated with that attitude that says, oh,
right,
Lena Horne, thank goodness you're here. I'm thrilled you're here. I see you. I hear you. You matter. When we talk about this, we talk about it because Oscar did that for every single person who walked through the door. Because when somebody takes the time to look you in the eye and welcome you warmly and say, I see you, I hear you, and you matter in a way that lets you feel it, that is what it truly means to be a guest. Mm. Because you've been welcomed. It's having the grace to enter a premises with the openness to allow that to happen. Not, you know, here's a list of things I can't do. Here's the thing. If you come in with a block, that transaction of kindness and validation and hospitality is challenged. When you come in as a great guest, it means I am truly putting myself in your hands so that you can say things to me like, I see you, I hear you, and you matter.
Yeah.
And when you are a guest and you allow your half of the transaction to be brought to life with the same positive intention that the host brings, and the host shows up saying, I am so excited to welcome everyone here to my house. Mm-hmm. All are welcome at my table. And when you get here, I'm going to look at you and make you understand and feel what it means for me to welcome you with hospitality so that you really are part of this present moment, not mm-hmm. on your phone, not on your anything, when we are fully present and fully making the energy exchange of hospitality is when this is that truly golden moment on this mm-hmm. golden road. It's about welcoming anybody. And if you break that down one step further, that's about saying we are all in this together in the sense that every human deserves the Absolutely. Seat at our table.
But, you know, let's take that one step further because Oscar, in your famous words, one step further, Oscar, not only did he welcome all of the Hollywood and all of the royalty and all of the glitz and glamour and all of the, you know, the businessmen and women of New York, but during the dark hours, he also welcomed the less fortunate. you know, the homeless people at the time that were in front of Delmonico's, you know, who were down and out. And he knew that if he took care of them, they would take care of him. So those same tables that he set for the King Umberto, you know, and for Elizabeth Taylor during the dark hours of the restaurant, he welcomed in the homeless of New York. You know, he set up a table. And I remember in Greenwich, my father, he kept that tradition going and called it the Oscarino, because my first name is Oscar. So Oscarino in Italian is little Oscar. So it was the Oscarino table for the, you know, for the homeless. And my father continued that tradition. And I think that was a huge part of my childhood, witnessing that, that I wanted to give back. And, you know, it just warms my heart to know that Oscar was such, I never met him. Yes, I'm named after him. And, you know, his spirit is always around me. But physically, I never met him. And when I was writing the Delmonico Way, Jennifer, the one common thread that so many had about Oscar, the first word that they all said is kind. Oscar was kind. And I miss kind people, you know, really to the degree of when you're welcomed at someone's restaurant, you feel that energy, you feel that kindness, you feel that heart-to-heart connection. And seldom do I go into a restaurant where I feel that, where I want to sit at the table, you know, and we have so many choices to sit at so many tables. And so to be able to sit at a table where your heart is being welcomed by the proprietor or by the manager or by like Nelly, when I walk into Polo Bar, Nelly just opens up her heart so genuinely to welcome not only me, but everybody. I watch her. And that's why I wrote about her in the book. I watch how she just embraces people, how she welcomes people. And to me, that is really, I think that is the one of the most beautiful art forms of hospitality, to understand really what does the word mean and how can I be kind in an industry that is a battlefield, really.
Can you talk a little bit about the idea of post-COVID reality as it's been validated at this year's James Beard Awards and in this week's 50 Best Restaurants in the World Awards, breaking through into the outlier spaces of hospitality, that it's no longer literally just like the biggest cities like Paris, New York, San Francisco, Madrid, Barcelona, like that the awards are being given in a broader sense than ever before, because that's where hospitality is happening. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like the hospitality from pre-COVID, and it doesn't necessarily look just like the future, but it sets the table mm-hmm. for the future. And well, the table may not have
that. Because
it's interesting to me. I want to know what you think about all that.
Here's what I think. I think what was the main thing that was happening during COVID? People were escaping the cities. They were escaping New York. They were escaping Los Angeles. They were escaping, you know, Florence, Italy. They were escaping the center, the city, the metropolis. And they were going into the towns where they felt that hug, where they felt some sort of safety. And so what does that mean? Florida, for instance, you know, Florida during COVID, I mean, I lived there the majority of the time, there was restaurants were open. So I didn't really experience the loss of the hospitality industry. You know, we were shut down for 2 months and restaurants were open by May. And I remember my first experience, we went to Kapow because it was like the only place open at that moment. And it just felt so good to be in that, it just surrounded by people. So I think the escapism of these metropolitan cities into these small towns, into areas where people are living this every single day. I was just with our dear friend, Greg and Clive, and Greg has this amazing bar in the outskirts of Illinois. And we went there and I felt like we were going to get off that plane, you know, like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and we were going to show up in our flip-flop dress. And when we came into this small town, all bikers, it's a biker bar, we were welcomed by a group of people that I thought were not going to be welcoming just because of, you know, the cover of the book, let's call it. And that opened my eyes up to what America has to offer in all of these small towns where there's these incredible little spots, little hot spots that locals go to. So I think what the James Beard is trying to do or did is to acknowledge those local institutions, those local restaurants that have been thriving for all these years and we just haven't acknowledged them or noticed them. How does that sound towards you?
I'm gonna add to that. When you look at the world's 50 best restaurants as they were announced this week, I mean, the number one restaurant in the world is in Lima, Peru, called Central.
Yeah.
The top 10, I'm going to run the cities and the restaurants. Number two was Disfrutar in Barcelona. Diverso, Madrid is number three. And this is interesting. Asador Extebari in Oxondo. And then The Alchemist in Copenhagen is number five. Number six, back to Lima, Peru. What on earth is going on? If somebody
said, "We've got to
go," you got to go, right?
You got to go to Lima, Peru.
And the first one from New York is Atomics in New York, which won Best Restaurant at the Beards this year. Number nine is Mexico City, and number 10 is Paris. If you told anyone 25 years ago that one of the 10 best restaurants in the world would be in Paris, they'd say, d'accord, of course it is. But if you said only one of the 10 best restaurants in the world would be in Paris, they'd say that's impossible. And if you said, and it will be number 10, they'll say triple impossible. That is the future of this moment in time.
Yeah.
And to go into the 50, there's a couple more from Paris, there's a couple more, and you have to go way down the list to get another New York City. And it's Le Bernardin. And I don't think there's a person who will say that Le Bernardin is anything other than one of the most exquisite places. So does this mean that the places in the world are all elevating their experience because that's now doable? Or are we looking with fresh eyes?
Travel has become a huge part of people's consciousness now, right? The one thing that I remember coming out of the pause, which I call it, was my friends who never traveled wanted to travel. So now they're discovering. I think the pause gave us this desire and this yearning to want to travel, to explore, to discover the undiscoverable, to go to Lima, Peru, to do the trips that are on their bucket list. How long do I have to live with so many people's consciousness, right? And so they wanted to explore. And so, yes, these places have always been there. And the snobbery has been taken out of the hospitality industry. And travel has opened up and discovering the undiscoverable. I did a TV show once. Unfortunately, Jennifer, never got picked up. But it was called Undiscovering Italy, way before Stanley Tucci. And what we did was we went into the food festivals that were happening in Italy, the Sagras. And we were going into these villages that were in Florence, that were in Puglia, that were in Rome, that were in Milan, that were tucked away in the middle of nowhere. And the life that was there and the people that were there and the hospitality. And they genuinely loved you for coming to their town. They celebrated you for having the courage to travel outside of the unknown. They celebrated you for showing up. And so I think that has become part of the trend, is really undiscovering the discoverable. It's always been there. We just have, it's like the Little Mermaid, you know, when she sings, part of that world. What world do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be part of the same routine and the same restaurants that have always been? Or do you want to be part of that routine where you're discovering the undiscoverable? And even with old restaurants, Delmonico's, for instance, you know, is still closed, but to discover the new in restaurants as well. When restaurants reopened after COVID, what was the change and the shift in the frequency in there? And how can we then discover something new about a place that maybe we never noticed before? You know, maybe now we're noticing the staff, and maybe now we're noticing the chef, and maybe now we're noticing the runners and the busboys and the busgirls, and maybe now we're noticing people that we never noticed before. We're taking that moment to say, I hear you, I see you, and you matter.
The list of 50 best restaurants include a restaurant that fits your bill Piazza Duomo in Alba.
Mm-hmm.
Have you eaten there in the beautiful pale pink room that looks exquisite?
I have not, but I want to.
So this is the thing. How does this not give you... I know it's vexing for some people. I know that it's frustrating for people who've been in this business a long time. And yet, how does it not make you excited to have these places on your new bucket list and having a new bucket list?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's on your bucket list that maybe hasn't been before? Let's reset the show real quick. Take a moment to catch your breath. Hey, Sam, if you can hear me, I know you're in the control booth. Can we play Max and Friends short here? Because I want everybody to know what they're listening to here. I have my friend Jennifer English on because it's her birthday, and we're talking about all things that we love: food, hospitality, kindness, friendship, and so much more here on Max and Friends. Sam, what's everybody listening to? I'm unmuted. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Succi. My co-host, my co-friend, I just adore her. Jennifer English is back.
I love her birthday.
See, that's how friends do. I see you. You needed a break. I got your back, girl. I got your back. Cheers to you.
Listen, cheers to you. Thank you so much. I am hoping that if I walk around with my champagne glass, that it will get filled. That's the true energy of allowing the unit. You don't need to know where the champagne's coming from.
Oh, hold on. I have to interrupt you because I have to interrupt you. Hey, Sam, patch on our caller. This is for you, Jennifer. Hey, you're on Max and Friends. Who's this?
Hello, Max. Hello, Jennifer. It's Margaret McSweeney. Oh, my darling. I wanted to virtually fill Jennifer's champagne glass with very happy, happy birthday wishes. Cheers to you and the wonderful person you are. And I celebrate your birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you so much. And is it, if right on cue, I literally am holding my virtual champagne glass saying, I don't know. But, you know, the thing I know is if you're on the dining car on God's train, and if God's trains run on time, someone will fill the cup.
Someone will fill it. And, you know, Margaret McSweeney, thank you so much for being here. For all of you who don't know Margaret, go right now to Instagram. Please do Jennifer that favor for her birthday and get to know Margaret McSweeney at Kitchen Chat. Margaret, you know, I adore you, Margaret. And I know Margaret through Jennifer. So when we were doing this, like behind the scenes of I wanted to surprise Jennifer, Margaret is exactly who I thought would be the perfect one to fill that champagne glass up for Jennifer. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us. I adore you. I miss you so much. How are you, first and foremost?
Oh, doing great and just savoring the day. And once again, through both of you, I met another wonderful mutual friend of yours, Akash, in New York City. And we were toasting both of you.
Thank you. So you're busy. Tell us what you're up to, because I'm watching you on Instagram and you and I are just, we are beating to this drum of the busyness, which I love for you. So tell us what you've been up to.
Oh, yes. So I've been busy. I was in Middleby Residential, wonderful showroom in New York City, to moderate a panel for interior designers, find out the trends and everything. And that was really fun. And while I was there, of course, from the Kitchen Chat side, I always like to get together with friends and celebrate over meals. So my dear friend, Rita Jamais, so we should be serving her La Caravelle champagne as we toast Jennifer. We got together for a glass of champagne, and then I met up with a dear childhood friend of mine from Alabama who lives in New York, and we went to Harry and Cipriani's and had a delicious meal. And then I met up with Akash and celebrated his birthday by taking him to the Blue Box, which is outstanding. It's the cafe and Tiffany's, and everything was just sparkling. So it was so much fun. And then today I'm going to be interviewing Matt Moore. He is see a great author, a real grilling expert and barbecue expert. And we're going to talk about his new cookbook, The Butcher Block. I have a new podcast that's up about compound butter with Shanna Davis. And she worked directly with Mary Kay Fisher. So just a lot of culinary history to celebrate.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for bringing your culinary light and just your light in general here to Max and Friends for Jennifer's birthday. So we're going to bid you adieu because I know you've got a busy schedule. So thank you so much. Before I let you go, Jennifer, Margaret is going to go. And I know you want to say some words.
First of all, say thank you to my dear friend, Margaret. But I also want to let everybody know that Margaret was on the red carpet in Chicago a couple of weeks ago for the James Beard Foundation Awards to tie this whole conversation together. And she did a magnificent job talking to the winners and nominees. And one of the things that she's done, she's written a marvelous article that's going to be appearing in the summer issue of Proof Magazine, and that'll be out in a few short weeks. And one of the things that happened is we really got a sense, not only from the people from Atomics who were just awarded the 50 best restaurants in the world honor, but also that there were people from all corners, including from the Wampanoag tribe in Massachusetts who were honored. So literally this idea that the excellence in the execution of hospitality is spreading, but that hospitality itself is spreading. Margaret, can you talk a little bit about that one theme, that one message that you saw on the red carpet at this year's Beard Awards?
Oh, well, I think that the wife of the Atomic chef, and he was lovely, and I ended up sitting right next to them in the ceremony, and it was so exciting to cheer them on. But she summed it up so well. She said, without beverage, the meal, there's, you know, that beverage really makes the meal. And also Mary Sue Milliken was saying, beverages, it's just as important as the meal is. And so many exciting trends that you'll be able to read about in Proof Magazine soon. And just a sneak peek, I thought it was fascinating to hear about natural wine.
Isn't it wonderful? The eco-bio natural wine.
Yes. So many interesting insights. And thank you, Jennifer, for the honor and the opportunity to be on the red carpet to represent Proof Magazine and celebrate the beverage side of food and beverage.
Well, I'm going to say thank you for making time in your busy day to come and wish me a happy birthday. I'm really grateful for this.
Well, I am just sending both of you a big round of hugs along with virtual clinks. And thank you, Jennifer, for the wonderful person that you are. You invest such happiness and encouragement in so many people's lives. And thank you, Max, for introducing me. Thank you, Jennifer, for introducing me to Max. And I celebrate you and Delmonico's and all of the exciting things that you continue to work on, and you bring such vibrancy to the world as well. So thank you both. Big hugs.
Thank you. Big hug right back to you. And for those who are listening right now, go on to Instagram at Kitchen Chat and really become friends with one of the friendliest, most loving, kind. You know, we were talking about the word kind. Kindest persons that I know, Margaret McSweeney. Thank you for joining us here on Max and Friends.
And by the way, I know. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
How was that surprise, Jennifer English?
That's a really lovely surprise. You know, not only is Margaret kind and accomplished, she's one of the most plugged in people in the food world.
Indeed.
And it's because she's one of the loveliest people in the world. Mm-hmm. And she's very, very generous and philanthropic. She's involved with the IACP, with Les Dames d'Escoffier. And she does a tremendous amount of charity work in her native Chicago. So kudos to Margaret for everything that she does. Are you sipping from a flute, darling?
I am.
Is that a Bellini? What are you having? I love that.
Well, at the top of the show, I was having a lovely dash of champagne with some mango juice because I brought some mangoes from my house in Florida up to the farm. And now, you know, my go-to, my Fiji water. But I'm always drinking it. I have to have a real glass. You know, I can't drink it from plastic. That's just how it was raised.
That's so funny. Let's talk a little bit because, you know, we don't have a ton of time left. I love these bells. I feel like I should be chanting with those bells. That is probably like the God resonance frequency. Like only the best champagne flute is going to ring at like the true hospitality, like the Fibonacci sequence.
Right?
Right? Seriously. I want to know. I want somebody to tell me. Is that like the God harmonics?
It is.
My champagne glass gives me the God harmonics.
My champagne glass runneth over. Right?
You know.
So, listen, I know we've got to wrap this show up in a minute, but tell me, really, I want to know, forget about everything else right now. Let's talk about you because I'm going to, you know, I love giving you your flowers. So for you this year, what are some of the intentions you have for your life this year? Where you can inspire those that are listening to like get a piece of that moral soul that you are going to engage in for yourself this year. What do you plan for yourself this year?
I believe that we all deserve to be happy. And that happiness is the mask that drops down. And every day we wake up, like from the compartment above in the airplane, the mask drops down and says, here's the mask to be happy. Like drink in that oxygen and make yourself happy first. Because if you are so focused on helping your parents and your children and your employer and your coworkers, and you know, it's just time to make sure you put your own oxygen mask of happiness on first.
Oh, I love that. You know, RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else? Take that over the Brooklyn Bridge. Right? And it's true. If you want happiness, like glamour, if you want that glamour, bring the glamour. If you want the happiness, bring the happiness.
So
what are some things that make you happy?
Well, I'm going to seize on the first part. I have a friend who was on the show with us last week, and Connie Smudge is the drag laureate of Canada. And there are pictures of the great dame, Connie Smudge, dancing at the head of the Pride Parade with Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister. And in this time, when so much has happened that threatens, that makes the HRC say that it's time to declare an emergency on the LGBTQ community's behalf. We had an entire conversation last Sunday about what it means and what pride means and how we have to brace and at least acknowledge that there is a legitimate threat. Elton John said this week in the news that things are going backwards. He never thought that that would happen. It is in fact the case that so many of us are discriminated against and actively being harmed, myself included. And I don't know what else to do except to continue to show up and put my own mask on first and be as happy as I can be, because I don't want to give anybody that's threatening our community the power to do anything less, to do anything more to us, to lessen us in any way. I don't want to help someone harm you or me or anyone I love. And so that's like a big idea, and I think it's important, but that's on my bucket list. How can I show up in the seat that I've earned by living the days that I've lived, by doing the things that I've learned, by suffering, by helping, by doing all the things that each of us have the opportunity to do every day, how can I bring all of that and be of service? Mm. How can I be of service? Like everybody else in my industry, how can I be of service? You need me to bust the table? I'll bust the table. I will do whatever I can to be of service to this community that allows me to live openly and freely and safely, although less safely than 5 years ago, but still. I think it's really important to address that. And then on the flip side, you want to know what would make me really happy? Some people dress in drag as their true expression of something. I grew up in Boston, which is not the most glamorous place in the world. So it's not like living in New York or Hollywood where there's red carpets and movie stars and all of that. You know, my idea of running into celebrity was bumping into Julia Child at Savonore's Market. And there's no bigger celebrity in the world, but I guarantee you she didn't look like Dolly Parton when that moment happened. I'm going to say this out loud. I'm going to say this publicly. There is inside of me a very glamorous woman screaming to be more glamorous. And I asked my friend, Connie Smudge, could you help me be more glamorous? And so my intention today and moving forward is to be a little more glamorous wherever I can, whenever I can, however I can.
Bring the glamour. You've got to bring the glamour. Right.
So my question is, people think of drag and they think of, you know, beautiful boys who dress as beautiful women. My question is, can any.
That's me.
That's beautiful.
For those who don't know, Jennifer. So look. But you know, let's take it one step further. We have a couple of times.
I want to be the beautiful drag queen that I am on the inside. I'm a beautiful drag queen on the inside.
I love that. And here's the thing, you know, I do a lot of events in South Florida, believe it or not. And this was before the whole, you know, thing, but, and they were called Drag Out Awareness. Right. And so I would bring all of my straight friends. We would dress them in drag. It was at Lips. We did it for Neighbors for Neighbors. We did it for Unicorn Children's Foundation. You know, it was so much fun. And we raised a lot of money. So let's do something for you. Maybe we can co-collaborate this in Florida. And we could go to Lips and do it for MS. And we could, like, drag awareness out for MS. I want to tell you, though, this is many years ago. And we don't have enough time to talk about it. But because I was doing these events in drag, I was slated to chair an event, Jennifer, for Food for the Poor, a Christian-based organization in South Florida. And they had Googled me and saw me in drag at Lips for a charity event. And they pulled me from chairing their event.
Wow.
And this was years ago. And the director called me, and I'm paraphrasing to the extent of, we don't think that, you know, your demonstration of who you are aligns with our mission. And I said, you know, a lot of Christians like to cherry pick the Bible. And when God said, if we read the Bible and those that understand it, said, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. So I'm thinking, how are you food for the poor? I'm about to raise you a lot of money, and you're judging me for doing an event to raise money for another charity. A friend of mine in India, and I'll send you the article, Jennifer, and I'll post it on my Instagram. I'll put it on my Twitter. So go to my Twitter at Maxucci. A friend of mine in India who has an ashram there read the story that I had posted on Facebook years ago. And he made it such a big story in India that India Times picked it up and wrote about how this Christian organization was discriminatory of people who are gay who want to help other charities. I think Sam, you probably remember that, but I'll send you the article. It was fascinating. And why do I bring that up? Because there are going to be times in life where our inner drag is going to come out, no matter who we are or where we are. And there's always going to be people that are going to rise up to try to say something about you. But what I know for sure, and what I've learned for sure, and I give this message to you, Jennifer, for all of the things you're going through in life. If you know, there's that saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Stand in your truth, stand in your word, and speak your truth, even if your voice shakes. Even if your voice shakes. So on that, we've got to wrap this up. Jennifer, if you, at there's times in life when you can't speak your truth, you know, there's that great song, "That's What Friends Are For." Call me and I'll speak your truth for you. On that note, happy, happy birthday. Before we close, is there anything you want to say?
I just want to thank my ancestors. I want to thank you, my friend, Max Tucci. And I want to thank God for making it possible for me to be in exactly the right place at exactly the right time on this very special day. This is exactly where we're supposed to be, and all that will flow be for the greatest good of all concerned. And may I be blessed to be in service in all the ways that I am able moving forward. And for that, I'm enormously grateful.
I echo that.
Everything I do for my son. Everything I do in the world, I do for my son.
I love that. We lift you up in prayer, and we know that one of your biggest dreams is, I know what it is, a personal dream of yours. So I'm sending you all the energy in the world to make that dream come true. On that note, we've got to wrap it up. Sam, thank you so much. Sam, we play this, can you play out Ancestors for us at the end of the show? I love you all for tuning into Max and Friends. Until next time, remember to take life to the max. And I see you, I hear you, and you matter. Good night, good morning, and good karma. And take life to the max. I'm your host, Max Tucci, with my dear co-host, happy birthday, Jennifer English. Peace. Love.